I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and something that's been going over in my heart now for days. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it really gives us God's provision for us to win every time. Did you ever hear win a few, lose a few? And we've all done that, but that's not what God's Word says. God's Word doesn't say, now here's the promise, you'll win a few, you'll lose a few. Because the truth of it is, we win. But there's a pathway to winning. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power, or through the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against wicked spirits in high places, or spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take. Can you say take? See, you're doing something there. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Be alert in prayer, all kinds of prayer. And Paul went on to say in verse 19, and pray for me and for me that utterance might be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. If one as great as the Apostle Paul could say, pray for me, I can say, pray for me. We all can request of one another, please remember to pray for me. How to win every time, in every situation. I already had my message and had all my basic thoughts in place that I felt God had given me, and I turned on one of the classic Billy Graham programs, and what a blessing it is to see a man that's never had a scandal, a man that's always been true to the gospel. And he made a statement. He said, Satan should never win any battle against us at any time, because if we use the whole armor of God, we win. You see, you don't just pick and choose. We put on the whole armor of God and we stand and we withstand. That means you stand and you keep on standing. Now, this came from Halifax. It was in the 1970s, somewhere in the early 1970s. Billy Graham made another statement, and I'm through quoting him. There has never been such an attack against the body of Christ, our children, our marriages. Never has there been such ungodliness and filth on every side as it is now. That's 30, 35 years ago. Never has there been an attack on the marriage. Never has there been an attack on young people. And never has there been filth on every hand. I think of how things have changed even since then. What's in my heart today is very simple. You could sum it up with this, but we need to put some meat on the bone. It's God's will for you to be strong. There's no scripture that gives us the option of wimping out. We're strong one week and weak the next. Now, we may have done that, But the Bible doesn't say if it, well, you know, there's just a lot of things. He said, finally, my brethren. In other words, no matter what anyone else does, get this, church, get this. This pastor, this staff, we deal with this all the time. Well, somebody, no matter what anyone else does, no matter what anyone else says, you make the faith choice to be strong. And how are you strong? It's not the exercise gym strong. That's good. But it said, be strong in the Lord and in the power. Could I paraphrase and say the unlimited power of His might? David said it so forcefully in Psalms 27. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord. The Lord. It was the Lord that was the strength of Samson's life. He wasn't just the strongest man that ever lived in that sense of the word, but it was the anointing of God upon him that enabled him to do supernatural feats. And it hasn't changed. We still need the anointing, the help, the strength of God today to face life. And remember, the Bible said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This means diversionary tactics to get your attention. You know, it's very easy to get your eyes off the road. We've all done that. My wife says, honey, look at this. Honey, isn't that? Look. I said, whoa. I'm trying to drive here. She just, it's a wonderful world, you know. And I said, I can't look at everything you want me to look at. Amen, and drive safely. You've got to have concentration. But it said, the wiles of the devil. You know what the wiles of the devil is? Whatever gets you off track. Whatever causes a shift in your attitude, negative wise. Whatever gets you going another way when you should be going the opposite way. The wiles of the devil, it's diversive. He's the champion of diversity. Division is two visions. The wiles of the devil. I mean, you're just going along full steam for God, and something gets your attention. Or something else gets your attention. Something gets your attention off of where God wants you perhaps to go. I want to stay right on track here. No matter what anyone else does or says, you be strong. But Lord, they, you be strong. But Lord, they said, you be strong. But Lord, you don't understand. Oh, yes, I do. You be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And see, the only way you can do this is to put on the whole armor of God. This is not pick and choose. You don't just put on your helmet one day and your breastplate the next day and, you know, pick and choose and switch around. It doesn't work that way. You say, boy, that takes a lot of time. You know, when you get a year or two older, it takes you longer to get ready to go out. Have sympathy, more sympathy for you ladies. Yeah. It takes a little while to get all that stuff together. You know what I mean, all the... See, that's diversion. That was a wiles that got me off. No, I'm glad you're enjoying the journey. Praise God. Finally, my brethren, brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You put on the whole armor of God. And you see the list of the armor that's there. There's something for every part of the body, and there's a purpose for everything. The sword, the shield, the helmet, the breastplate, your loins girt about with truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You put on the whole armor of God. On the job, in the school, in leisure times, in the hospital, in the courtroom, in a crowd, by yourself, in happy times and sad times. You don't fight all the time, but you daily dress for an all-out warfare at any given moment. You don't have time to go home, run to your prayer closet and suit out, dress up. Leave your home, leave where you live, leave your residence ready for all-out warfare. Dress for warfare. Mentally, physically, spiritually, dress, suit out with the appropriate armor. You see, the armor is offensive as well as defensive. You can't fight all the time physically. You're not able to do. I mean, through God, you could if you had to. But I mean, you know, you can just stand and enjoy the moment and know that your whole armor is in place. And really, ultimately, there's nothing that Satan can bring against us that our spirit doesn't recoil and we snap right into doing what God said to do about this. You see, Satan's daily plan is to hit you, to divide you from where you're supposed to be, to hurt you, to confuse you, keep you from going to church, stop giving to God, get a spirit of offense, backslide. You can backslide in church as well as away from church. So no matter who does right, no matter who does wrong, you be strong in the Lord. No matter what may happen in the economy. Now listen to me. Sure, there's things going on. My head's not in the sand, but the only way out is up. And stop shouting doom and gloom about the economy and start saying, I'm not just playing to the grandstand. Folks, this is necessary. You can dwell on all the negativisms. This isn't the first time and won't be the last time. You live long enough, the bottom is going to drop out and changes are going to come and the unexpected, so-called, is going to happen. How do we survive tough times? Tough times do not last, but tough people do. And even in this economy thing, speak the word of God over your economy. I wished I still had it. Someone sent me something so cute through the mail. Said this man said he had a hot dog wagon. And he'd stand out beside a busy road and he would say, "Best hot dogs in town." I guess it's at some place where people pull up and stop and then drive on. And it's amazing. The man sold so many hot dogs. He had to go buy a bigger oven and he had to, you know, enlarge his facilities and had to enlarge his little wagon that he kept his hot dogs in. And he sent his son through college. I mean, life was good for this man. And then his son came back from college and he said, "Dad, what's wrong with you? Don't you understand we're in a depression? Europe is in trouble. It's working toward the U.S. Times are tough, Dad. This is a time of recession, depression." And the father said, "Well, he's been to college. I guess he knows. I paid all this money to send him to get a good education." And so he started downsizing his orders of hot dogs, went back to the little wagon, and just, you know, stood out and just kind of, "If you want them, here they are." And, you know, the guy went broke. There's a moral. That's all printed out. I wished I had it before me to read it for you, word for word. It was published several years ago. Now, isn't that something? He was doing well until someone informed him that he shouldn't be doing well. You remember a few years ago, we were in the middle of a recession. And I believe it was Lawrence and JJ at that time. They helped us get those buttons. I saw a button. What is it? "Business is good." And we got a bunch of those and had them here at the church. How many remember that? We had them all over the place. And we started wearing, what a witness, what a testimony. When everybody's full of doom and gloom, this is really an economic recession. And we've got these big buttons, "Business is good." And we had employers call us and thank us for spreading the message. And I want to tell you today, You can say that's positive thinking. You can say that's hype. I say it's the Word of God, because I read in my Bible, my God, your God, our God shall supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. So no matter what happens in the economy, in politics, in wars and rumors of wars, no matter what your husband does, your wife does, or your ex-husband or your ex-wife does, that's usually what makes life miserable. No matter what your children may do or not do, no matter who lives or dies, who is healed or not healed, you be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You be strong. Let me summarize these statements with some things that God has made real about this portion of His Word. First of all, God has made every provision for every believer to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. God has made every provision. It's all detail not only here but throughout the Word of God. God has made every provision for every believer to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In other words, to war and to win in life. God's not the win a few, lose a few God. God gave us warfare. It said that you may stand and keep on standing. You know, I think back when we purchased the post office property. It was a recession time. So we got it for half price. Not bad. Not bad at all. Instead of $80,000, it was $40,000. I still am amazed. Such a bargain, such a deal. But it was like the end of the world at that time. When we moved downtown, it was recession time. The oil had bellied up. Real estate had bellied up. I mean, lending institutions were just going berserk. And so we bought another piece of property for about half price. I know we had several meetings and said, we really need to build a Christian school. I mean, we had it all integrated in our properties downtown where the tornado struck our former property. We need to build a school, a separate school. And we tried to figure out how to build a gym on it. You don't want to know how many millions of dollars it would have cost to have done that downtown. I mean, real dollars. I mean, we had real estimates and looking at things. And we needed it. I mean, we were all just stepping on each other's toes there between school and church and all the other departments and ministries that we had. But you know what? God can put a saddle on the devil's horse and ride it. So we lost everything, it looked like. We said God will give us twice as much. And really, I think when you look at value per value, we still have some things to do around here. I'm aware of that. But when you look at value per value, God's probably given us 2.5, maybe even 3 times what we had before the storm. But I remember standing on that rubble out on the corner and all the microphones of the news medias. You've heard it, but I just need to encourage myself every once in a while, okay? You just listen in while I preach to myself every once in a while. I mean, you look around and the whole property is yellow taped. Everything's yellow taped. Bible school, offices, auditorium. I mean, everything there was yellow taped. And I said, as with Job, I mean, God spoke this to my heart and I spoke it to the media. I have people remind me of it quite often, especially in travel. They followed that. I said, as with Job, we will come out with twice as much. You wait and see. And we did. Now, I know 3 miles destroyed some people. I have no explanation for that. But still, I have to believe that God put us here. And if God put us here, help us stay here. And let's all pull together as a team. And you know, God's given us really one of the greatest locations in the Metroplex. And we thank God for that. And we built a school. We'd been trying to build a school, trying to figure out how to build a school. We couldn't afford to build a school. There was no way. God did the impossible. See, God has made every provision for every believer to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You can't look at this church if you know anything about this ministry, the buildings, what God's done. You can't look at this place without seeing a miracle that, as far as I'm concerned, is just as great as the crossing of the Red Sea, the quenching of the violence of fire, or Daniel's night in the lion's den and the lions didn't eat him. Or the times that God sent hailstones out of heaven and wiped out entire enemy armies. Folks, this church is the recipient of some of the greatest miracles of God of any church in the world. Number two, but we must daily put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the wiles. You don't dress on Monday and it lasts all week long. You not only need toothpaste and deodorant and fresh clothes, you need to put on the whole armor of God. Now, you might make it without those others, but you can't make it without the whole armor of God. We must daily put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the wiles, the methods of trickery. See, Satan knows he can't win. He just tries to waste our time and get us divided and off on some strange trail. And did you hear what somebody said? Just trying to get us distracted. Folks, there's a job to do. There's a victory to win every day of our life. There are souls to be reached, not only in the Metroplex, but all over the world. There's a job for us, every one of us, to do. There's a job to do. But we must put on the whole armor of God to stand against the wiles of the devil. You remember Joshua? Joshua was such an awesome man. But where he tripped up was when the Gibeonites came in with moldy bread and worn out shoes and put a lie on him. And it's lies that get you off track. It's amazing some of the lies that people tell on any local church. And they said, make a league with us. We're so poor and we're so down and we don't have any friends and everybody else, nobody's ever loved us but you. I mean, make a league with us. And Joshua felt sorry with them. Don't make a league with the devil. You'll pay for it. Joshua made a league with them. You go all the way through the Old Testament. That league with the Gibeonites cost them over and over and over. Compounded interest came back. Because you don't make a league with the devil. What you compromise to keep, you will ultimately lose. Watch those diversionary tactics. Thirdly, our battle is not a flesh and blood battle. Your battle is not a flesh and blood battle. Well, it goes much deeper than that. That's just the wind dressing that the enemy's using. He's using him or her or them or news or, you know, whatever flips your switch. He does do some research. He knows what flips your switch. But the thing that I'm speaking about, our battle is not a flesh and blood battle. I had to go back to that basic a few days ago. I just said, whoa. This battle is not a flesh and blood battle. Flesh and blood may be saying some things they shouldn't say and doing some things they shouldn't do and making things difficult in some way. But this is not a flesh and blood battle. This is spiritual warfare. Church, we are in spiritual warfare. I said we are in spiritual warfare. But you see, our battle is not a flesh and blood battle. This is not a people battle. This is not an a head game, an intellectual battle. This is not a battle that you can win with armies. This is not a political battle. Our battle is not flesh and blood. If we can ever, please get a lock on that today. Whatever you've encountered or whatever you may encounter, just lock into it. It's not flesh and blood. Satan would love to take you out. If he can't get you out, he'll get you off track. Just a little bit off course. Ask these pilots. You get 1 degree off course, you'll be a long way from where you thought you were going to go if you don't catch that and correct it. Our battle is not flesh and blood. Remember that, young people. That slick-talking young man or that slick-talking young lady. It's not a flesh and... It may be flesh talking, but it goes deeper than that. Satan's after the rest of your life. I said Satan's after the rest of your life. He's after your marriage to be. He's after your employment. He's after everything that you hold near and dear. Not a flesh and blood battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and wicked spirits in high places. Are you listening to me, church? It hits all of us. No one's exempt. Preachers included. We've got to keep a padlock, a Holy Ghost padlock on our spirit, on our minds, on our emotions. That we don't just go up and down the wall like a window shade every time something happens. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. It's not a flesh and blood battle. Another insight here. Satan uses people, even well-meaning believers, oftentimes to hurt and to hinder us if possible. Isn't it amazing? It's not just a big truck or an automobile or a plane coming out of the sky or whatever. I mean, Satan uses people, even well-meaning people. You know, they tried to get Jesus not to go to Calvary. They tried to get Paul not to go on and follow the pursuit of the path that God had led him. There were people who said, no, Paul, you can't do that. They wept. There was even a strong prophecy. Paul said, I've got to do what I've got to do. He was able to say, I've run a good race. I fought the course. I did what God called me to do. Time of my departure is at hand. Satan uses people. I'll tell you, every one of these points is so practical. Satan uses people, even well-meaning believers, to hurt and hinder us if possible. I mean, there's a time when I've been numb for half a day just because of something someone did or said. And I have a tender heart. You know, a lot of people don't really. Let me make a confession. I too have feelings. Is it okay? I too can hurt. I too can bleed. Well, you just don't know somebody that hurt my... My God, man. When people have given you everything that could be given to you and you off in a corner sucking your thumb saying you got your feelings. Hey, I've got feelings too. I've got feelings too. You better be glad I'm not half sanctified. I'd be coming after you. I have feelings too. You said what? You said what about my kids? You said what about my wife? You said what about the church? God, burn this into our heart. This is not petty. But remember, Satan uses people. It was a little girl by the campfire with Peter. Oh, you're one of them. Blankety blank blank, I never knew him. It happened. Peter, no wonder he wept. But thank God he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And Jesus and the grace of God brought him through. Aren't you glad God forgives us and helps us? But Satan still uses people, even well-meaning believers, to hurt and hinder us if possible. Now, final point. God's will is for us to stand and keep on standing. It's not enough to stand on Sunday. It's not enough to, boy, I hung in there on Monday, but it came apart like a $3 watch for the rest of the week. It's not God's will. Please don't forget, this is warfare, folks. There's a war going on. There's a war going on that's much more significant than Afghanistan or Iraq. There's a war going on. And you're the target of that war if you're not wise, if you're not sharp. And I'll tell you, one of the best places to get a spirit of offense is in church. You just have to be careful. See, God put us all together. We're a family. But you know, family can hurt one another if we're not careful. Right? And so God's will is for us to stand and to keep on standing. In other words, to win every time. You said, do you win every time? I've got a better track record than I used to have. And I'm conscious when I don't, why I didn't. And so by God's grace, I purpose, Lord, forgive me. I'm going to do better next time. I'm stronger than I used to be, a lot stronger than I used to be. You see, God wants us to keep on standing. How? Above all, take the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, I used to say, boy, this was my understanding for years, and this new understanding just came, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. I could see that shield of faith, man. I love that. Man, those arrows coming at you, you know, supersonic speed and supernatural speed. And they hit that shield and psst, and they just fall at your feet. Now, it dawned on me, sharp, quick thinking me, that's another mess for a pastor to clean up. Somebody got to clean up this mess in front of the shield. Huh? But you know, as I studied, and I believe God gave me this understanding. And if you don't see it that way, just leave me alone. I love this. I love this. What I understand is arrows are coming toward the shield, but they can't penetrate that shield. So they do a 180 and go back on the enemy. Ho ho! Woo! I love it. I love it. See, it doesn't just hit that shield and fall at my feet. It's another mess for me to have to clean up and take a few hours to try to get everything settled down. But those arrows just go back where they came from. I love what the late Pastor John Osteen used to say. I love simple things. I just love them. And one thing he used to say, he said, you know, of course he lived in Houston, not too far from Galveston. So he related to the tides coming in. And you know, Joel, when we were over in Australia the other day, we'd watch those surfers, you know, and the tide coming in. And some days that tide and the waves would really get up outside the hotel room. But he said, listen, remember this, believers. The tide comes in, but it's got to go back. Ooh, remember what I'm telling you. The tide comes in. You bet it comes in, but it's got to go back. The enemy may come in like a flood or come in, but I like the translation, like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift a standard against him. The tide comes in, but it's got to go back. Don't like it coming in, spiritually speaking. It's a fun thing to play with the water, but I mean, I'm talking about spiritually now. The big tide comes in, but it's got to go back. The waves come in. You said, you don't know what waves come over me this week. Start shouting. It's got to go back. But you don't know how big the wave was, but it's still got to go back because God set the boundaries. Even a tsunami has to go back. So the waves come in, but they got to go back. The rumors come in, but they got to go back. The lies come in, but they got to go back. Satan comes in, but he's got to go back because we win. We win. Waves came in, but one day somebody came knocking on the door of the Carrillo home. And a family turned to God. And you're serving God and preaching today because just as sure as the waves come in, they got to go back. When are we going to stop trying to play God and just say, hey, life, my life is God. Everything this church has ever done, it's been contested by the evil one. But we didn't quit. You didn't quit. I didn't quit. We didn't quit.